taking a bit of a turn, I guess, from the conversations that we just had. I want to check in with one of my favorite things about fandom at the moment, which is Trope Off. Ferret, where are we? What's going on?
Well, we have a lot to talk about. It's been an interesting couple of weeks because I think we're getting into, I mean, people have now seen quite a few of the options out there. I'd have to count, but I think we've maybe seen half of the available ones or even more. It's kicking off. We're still determining the winner and loser bracket. So this is still the first like round, if you will. And not everyone has had a chance to end up being sorted. So we've got a couple more left to go there, but progress is being made. So last time we talked, which was Valentine's Day, and I hope everyone had a lovely Valentine's Day, whether you celebrated it with a partner or friend or on your own with a box of chocolates with your cat. I hope it was nice. I hope you had us on your ear holes and it was pleasant. But then I also hope that after you listened, you went and voted in Trope Off because we had a tight one and I think we knew it was going to be tight. We talked about thinking it was going to be tight. We had clothes sharing versus found family. Do you have a guess? Because it was tight.
I think my guess is that found family pulled it out just because that's a bit broader than clothes sharing.
You are correct. Woo-hoo! It was a pretty big vote. Like the closer they are, the more votes we tend to get. If people think it's like quote unquote obvious, I think they're a little less likely to vote. Or if they don't have any feelings about either of them, they're less likely to vote. So I find that the votes that get like the polls, they get fewer votes overall, tend to be some of the ones where they both are going to end up in the loser's bracket. So that's interesting.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe we need to do some like deeper statistical analysis about stuff like that for this one. And now we'll have two rounds so we can compare. But this one was pretty on the high side with 118 votes. Clothes sharing took in 44% and found family took in 56%. So it was a decisive win, but not an extreme win, if you will.
Yeah, not a landslide.
Not a landslide. Not
and
surprised.
I can see that. I can see that. Because if I had to choose between the two, I love both. But if I had to choose between the two, I would choose found family.
Yeah. And I think that's a, you know, especially, obviously Trope Off is open to any fandom, but the vast majority of people who are engaging with my Twitter are going to be at least Marvel fans, if not specifically Stony fans. And we know that found family is popular in Marvel, especially in the Avengers part of Marvel. So
even as we record this tonight, this a Marvel server is doing a found family bingo. Plus bingo is a found family if you want to head to that server and join that. I believe it's an event forecast. It may or may not be. It's very new. So
I mean, one could argue that some of the most popular, like a lot of the most popular fandoms have like at least some found family aspect to them.
That's the basis of Harry Potter almost entirely.
So, it's the basis of, so many things. So I think that you know, it's one of those things that's so universal, it'd be sort of hard to, but even though it's going into the winner's bracket, I do think it's going to maybe struggle a bit against some of the ones where they might be a little bit more specific, but people have pretty intense feelings about them. So we'll see.
I think clothes sharing will handily beat whatever it's up against in the losers would be my guess. Cause
it's
one of the
pop back up again.
I think it'll pop back up because it is it's not one of those kinks that like only applies for a sexual kink. Like it's also an emotional kink.
Yeah, totally. It could be GDE.
So I think it's like a little broader. And it tends to be if you are in a ship with Tony Stark, him wearing someone else's clothes seems to be a theme.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he is smaller than a lot of the rest of the team who are unnaturally large. So it does allow for long sleeves and other things that we seem to like. I think there's definitely like there's a cozy factor. There's a bit of a self-insert factor. I don't know anyone who doesn't like wearing other people's clothes, especially if they're bigger than they are.
It's a real sign of, it's a real sign of like tribe. Like,
I mean, there's even a found family aspect to it, you know, like you could, yeah. you could have clothes sharing be totally non-romantic and just be a sign of the comfort that a group of people have. I think we even talked about this last time.
Probably.
Yeah. Cause it's so easy to combine. Like I didn't get any prompts in my comments on this one though. Who Quinn said, I love found family. I think it's my favorite trope, which I think is a sentiment shared by many people.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't even think of it as a trope because it is just the basis of my entire fandom experience, but it's totally a trope. Like
it's the foundation.
It is, but it is like why I'm in fandom. So I always forget that it's a trope.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I think that a lot of people feel that way. And I think that'll take it fairly far in trope off. But at the end of the day, some of the like more intense ones might take it home. So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. But it's definitely in the running.
Okay, so what was next?
Not an underdog.
Our Valentine's Day poll.
So last weekend, when you didn't hear from us, but I heard from you, we had Aliens Made Them Do It versus Outsider POV. And I think these are both pretty niche things.
Yeah, they are very both pretty niche specific. My guess is that Aliens still get though, because Outsider POV is so hard to find good examples of.
Yes. And you would be correct in that Aliens took it. Aliens took it with 74.5% of the vote, which we're going to call 75. And Outsider POV took 25%. So, and yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I see a lot of like people who like Outsider POV like it a lot. And I know a lot of people who like to use their OCs for that position, but it is hard to do well. And I'm always impressed by people who do it well. And I think it is one of those things where it's like people who love it a lot and want more of it, but it's not like broadly popular in the same way that some other things are.
Yeah, there's only one off the top of my head that I think of that I really love. And it's like a Star-Spangled Quartet, Barbershop Quartet fic, where it's a coffee shop person who is concerned that Nat is cheating on all of her boyfriends. and then I write a lot more OCs than you do. And I still vary, I'll put like a chapter in their POV, but I would never do a whole fic in their POV.
Yeah, it's so, really hard. I think the hardest part is also what is the hardest part with epistolary, which is like if you're writing romance as we do, is the like climactic moment is hard to get across without the feelings of the people involved.
So especially in anything longer than a one shot. Like I can see the fic I'm working on right now, I have two very, very strong, like strongly fleshed out OCs. And writing a chapter, a whole chapter in one of their things about Steve or Tony would not be hard.
Right.
And I could even see myself doing a bit of a spinoff and like them telling us their version of events of this thing. But actually that would be really, really, that would be entertaining. I need to check with people who are reading it if they would enjoy that. but I couldn't imagine having the big moment between, because Steve and Bucky and Tony, like all the ships I write involve some level of idiots having to use their words.
Right.
So you need those, and they're not going to use their words in front of anyone else.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, there's a lot of questions to struggle with there. Like, how do we show what they're feeling, especially if they're not very good at using their words? How do we escape the potential for the reader also missing understanding them in a negative way because they don't get to see how they're really feeling on the inside? And how do we show the climactic moment if it doesn't make sense for it to happen in front of other people?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a challenge. I think in terms of like full on romances, I may have only done one, and it was from Dummies POV, and it was very cheeky. But it also meant all these things could happen in front of him because he's just doing his robot stuff. Yeah. And we also get sort of Jarvis's perspective plays a role as well.
Yeah.
It was verging on cracky. So,
fair.
And then the only other, it's interesting though, that the other thing that's pinging that same kind of feeling for me is the piece that I did entirely epistolary. And I had a lot of people being like, how are you gonna, like, are you, they expected me to switch back into prose at the very end. And oh. I was adamant to myself that I was going to face this challenge and I was going to find a way to do the entire thing in epistolary. And I did. And I'm actually really proud of how it turned out. But it's definitely, you have to kind of ask your readers to trust you a little bit, because in some ways I ended up having to sort of skip the moment and then find a way to still give people the feeling of having experienced that big climactic release moment. And I hope I did. If anyone wants to check it out, it's called Between the Lines. But it was like, it's like, it was 297 chapters of building up to this end and needing to find a way, like, and in some ways the page and the pen becomes a bit of an outsider POV, because there is no POV. All you get is what you see from the outside, which is how they're expressing themselves and not them on the inside. So yeah, it's a challenge. And I'd never really thought about how similar epistolary is to outsider POV until right now, but now that I'm thinking about it, definitely the same vibe.
And I think that, like, text messages in particular, like both of my epistolary fics are entirely text messages. That's mm-hmm. that's a combination of both, because I don't make it clear in either of the fics who was holding the phone
first. Yes. And that's like, a fascinating thing about epistolary is the, like, does it have a POV? I feel like we talked about this a long time ago, but maybe it wasn't on air.
Yeah, I can never, people always ask me, did you talk about this on? And I'm like, guys, I don't remember when we start and stop sometimes. I'm real sorry. But yeah, because like one of my POVs involves Nat and Bucky. And it's told all through text messages. And I think you really get like Nat's nervousness. And Nat is the primary driver. I don't switch to Bucky really at any point necessarily. It's entirely Nat's text messages with Pepper and then some group texts. But it definitely plays with POV in a way that I've never done in prose. And I don't think I'd even know how to.
Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, guys, if you're listening and you have an opinion about outsider POV and epistolary and how you can make moments without being in people's heads, then that would be a super cool conversation we would love to continue off air and then on air again in Com Talks maybe next time. But to finish up Trope Off, since that's what we're here for, so that is that. Aliens Made Them Do It will be going on in Winner's Bracket. Outsider POV is dropping down to Loser's Bracket. We will see both of them again soon. And yesterday, Saturday, I posted this weekend's Trope Off. So it is still open. If you are listening to this on Sunday, February 28th, then you can still vote in Trope Off. And if you're not, then you can skip ahead to the next episode and find out who won. But right now we have got Fix It versus Medieval/Barbarian AU.
Well, this will be interesting because people who love medieval barbarian AUs really love them.
They do. And so, I don't think that this is one we can combine, simply because I feel like Fix It inherently is at least to some degree canonical. And so yeah, the only way that you could do it
is like if you were Mizzy in Where Our Restless Monsters Sleep, because it was a Fix It that went to whatever planet is from Ragnarok and it became very barbarian-y.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it was okay. A gladiator competition. So like that's almost, and that's a Fix It.
Yeah, but that's verging it away from the AU factor. So like depends how much of a stickler you're gonna be about AU being part
about
of
about the AU for sure. But if you just want the like someone fights in a ring of some fashion, there's your combo.
Yeah, I think that's the closest we can get for sure.
Yeah.
Though if anyone else can think of another way to make that happen, I always love the combo prompts. But that's a tricky one to combine. But we'll have to see who wins. And on our next episode, you're going to hear about who won this one, who wins next weekend, and what we've got up to vote for the weekend after that when we post as well. But thanks for voting. Thanks for tuning in to Trope Off. And it's heating up. I'm excited. Thank you.
Hi, fandom. This is Only More Love, and I'm back with your latest events forecast, which was put together with a whole lot of love by Marie, or Hogwarts to Alexandria. Please lend me your ears for a few minutes so I can tell you a bit about what's going on challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you. And here's the usual note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes for each episode over on podonthesuit.com. On to the fun stuff! The Marvel Reverse Bang is back, but different. With its new six phases formula, the mods aim to find you a partner, no matter how rare your ship, by dividing the many parts of our fandom into their own phase, and therefore their own bang within the bang. For more information and detailed rules and dates on each phase, please visit the blog. The mods of the Cap Iron Man community have announced a new fest, the Universe Medley Fest. It takes the form of a prompt fest, with each month dedicated to a different universe, as well as a remix challenge, and the opportunity to run your own mini-challenge centered around the universe of the month. This fest aims to give us more Steve Tony content across the multiverse. It begins on March 15th. Please check out the detailed rules master post at the com. Reminder that the Shrunky Clunks Big Bang is open for artist signups until April 17th. Author signups just closed, so hang tight for the next stage. Signups for writers and artists just closed for the Stucky Big Bang, and claims will happen starting April 26th. The Loki Rare Pair Bang, a mixed bang with claims of both fic and art, is also still open for signups until April 1st. Rare Loki shippers, this one's for you. Check out the blog for the full schedule and rules. The Steggy Bingo Bash is open for late signups until March 30th. So if you missed your chance to grab a card the first time, this is for you. Claims for the Black Characters Matter Prompt Fest have opened and will stay open until April 2nd. With a minimum requirement of 500 words for fic, and it also welcomes a wide variety of mediums. All ships, themes, and or kinks are allowed, as long as they focus on at least one Black Marvel character, and they also have a Discord server you can join. The mods for the Bucky Barnes Bingo have opened signups for the next round. They'll stay open until March 9th, with cards going out starting March 10th. And this round lasting until December 31st. Master posts will be due by January 7th. The Sam Wilson Fest starts tomorrow, March 1st. You have until March 12th to leave your best Sam prompts featuring any ship or gen content, to then be claimed between March 13th and April 23rd. Posting will happen between April 24th and May 2nd. There are no minimums, and all mediums are allowed. Have fun! Signups and fills for the following are also still ongoing. Cap IM Bingo, Marvel Fluff Bingo, Marvel Holiday Fest, Cap IM Com Remix Events and Bingo, STB, Steve, Tony, Bucky Bingo, as well as the Lights on Park Avenue monthly prompts. And that's it for this episode, friends. This has been your events forecast. We hope you'll tune in again next time. Until then, be well and happy shipping.
And that is all for episode one of season two. Still strange to say. Thank you to Amanda for our darling cover art, and thank you to Pineapple Bread and Saber for joining our conversations.
If you're new to the podcast, please know that we adore hearing from you. And even though we skipped Com Talks in this episode, it's one of our favorite parts of the show. You can comment on the website or hit us up on any social media with thoughts about this episode or any episode, your fandom experiences, a fandom secret to our anonymous fandom feelings, or any topic you'd like us to explore in further episodes.
Don't forget to follow up on Twitter and Tumblr and join our Discord server so that you can weigh in on those community conversations and keep up to date with news and announcements. You can head to our website or email us as well to submit your name as a cover artist or volunteer to be an interview guest. And finally, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Apple in particular really, really helps the algorithm and people finding us. But any pod platform you're listening on, review and a rating really, really helps other fandom friends find us. And we just want to make sure that this represents as wide as possible. So please, if you have the time, we'd appreciate it.
And huge thank you to everyone who has done so already. We are so excited to see where season 2 takes us. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time for episode 2.
You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.